Hello and welcome. Every year we broadcast a special programme celebrating the beauty of birdsong. This year it came at a time when interest in nature had never been higher due to the trauma of the COVID-19 pandemic. The joy and optimism engendered by the sound of birds doing what they do best had been discovered by many for the first time. As Dr. Richard Collins says, the dawn chorus never ceases. It moves like a great wave across the face of the earth. And we brought you on a melodious journey from darkness into light, as dawn broke and the birds woke up and burst into song. In a new departure this year, we explored the shared natural heritage of the Celtic world. We were joined by our colleagues in Northern Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, and by our other Celtic cousins in Cornwall, Brittany, and the Isle of Man. The birds weren't the only ones making music, as two of Ireland's most acclaimed traditional musicians, Donal Lunny and Paddy Glacken, brought us a selection of beautiful nature-inspired tunes. From 1 a.m, we had three special documentaries on the eider duck, the white stork, and the curlew. And at 4 a.m, we started our live three-hour broadcast. As well as our correspondents around the Celtic fringe, we invited you to send us WhatsApps of the Dawn Chorus where you live. Members of the regular Mooney Goes Wild team were at locations throughout Ireland. And I was based at Cuscany Marsh Nature Reserve in Cove, County Cork, with Birdwatch Ireland's development officer, Niall Hatch, and local ornithologist and naturalist, Jim Wilson. And it was Jim who started the live part of our programme by describing his home patch.
Yes, Derek. Well, we're in the heart of Cork Harbour. We're in Birdwatch Ireland's Cuscany Marsh Nature Reserve. And it's a perfect spot for the Dawn Chorus broadcast. That's why you keep coming back, thankfully, because we've got so many habitats in such a small area. So it means we've got a wide variety of
birds,
yeah, coming there. Now, I mean, this didn't happen overnight. You know, the reserve is owned by the Bird family. That's their actual name. Andrew, David and Heather.
Hello to
and
them.
Then the Ronan family are the other owners. And I have to give a special mention tonight to Wanda Ronan, who's the owner. She will be 100 on the 14th of May.
Well, happy birthday, Wanda Ronan, on the 14th of May.
And she's been a huge supporter. So have to mention those, because without them, we wouldn't have the reserve.
We couldn't do it, yeah.
And then small group of us managed and keep the place going. So the Dawn Chorus coming from here is just an annual event that we have and that we really look forward to. And hopefully during the night, as things start picking up, you'll notice it'll change from what it's like now,
which is very quiet.
And if you listen for a second,
can't hear anything.
Exactly, Derek. There's nothing to hear at the moment. But I always find it so incredible every year. Yeah. We come out, we set up, and it's deathly silence.
Yeah, we're always afraid.
Yeah, I mean, you can feel the hum, all right, of the harbour. Something like, we across the water from us here, beautiful half moon coming up tonight. It was stunning.
Over
Haddah power station.
Now, there are 450 birds on the Irish bird list, thereabouts.
Yeah.
Now, how many are here in Cuscany Marsh? Species, not numbers of actual birds.
The last count we've had for Cuscany is just over 200. And I did a quick tot as well. Over the years, we've had over 40 different species of bird contribute, we'll say, to the Dawn Chorus. Not all of them would be, to our ears, the most proficient of singers.
Okay, so it's just like the Eurovision Song Contest.
No, that's bold. That's bold.
But that's true.
But you are right, Derry. Yeah, so, I mean, could you imagine that? We've recorded the sounds of over 40 different species.
Yeah.
I mean, in the average garden, in a suburban garden, anywhere in Ireland, you could pick up anything between 10 and 20 if you actually spend your time listening, and there's birds singing quietly in the background. Then you have the ones like the wren, which you're all going to get to know by the end of this broadcast, because it's the one, I refer to it as the opera singer, because it will blast out a sound for such a tiny bird that it'll render the others sort of paling into insignificance. So we're hoping this morning that those wrens might give it a break now and again, so that we can hear all the other members of the Dawn Chorus down
here. Come on, you said to me the other day when I said, is there anything we can do about the wren? You pretty much said to me, build a bridge, Derek, and get over it. That the wren is going to sing all over the, and that the wren hugs its territory when it's singing.
Absolutely. And what's more, is it's one of our most common countryside birds in Ireland. Mm. So, like, you will find them almost everywhere. And you never know what else.
All right, Jim, thank you very much indeed. We'll come back to you momentarily. And I'm also with Niall Hatch, who's the Development Officer with Birdwatch Ireland. But he's also a regular panellist, as is Jim, on Mooney Goes Wild on RTÉ Radio 1. Now, Niall, today we have themed this programme the Celtic Dawn Chorus. I mentioned the rooks, the crows there. Is there such a thing as a Celtic bird? And if so, oh, what is it?
Well, if I was to vote, I would say that the Celtic bird, the quintessential one, would be the chough, which is a fantastic bird, one of my favourites. It's a member of the crow family. And I know a lot of people don't like crows. I love them, but I know a lot of people don't. But don't be put off them, because the chough is a superb bird. It's absolutely magnificent. It's a bird that really is just found in northwestern Europe in the Celtic regions. That's where it's found. So we have them on the south and the west coast of Ireland. There's a small population on the coast of County Antrim in Northern Ireland as well. They're in western Scotland in a few small areas. They're on the coast of Wales. They're on the Isle of Man. They're in Cornwall. In fact, it's the national bird of Cornwall.
It's on the coat of arms, if I'm not mistaken.
And there's also a colony of them in Brittany. And in this region of the world, that's really the only place you find them. As you go further south into Europe, you do have them in Iberia, where they tend to be inland birds in the mountainous regions. In southern Europe, you get them in parts of the Alps, along with the Alpine chough, you have them there as well. And then on the Canary Islands, the island of La Palma, there's a big population of them there. It's the only of the seven Canary Islands where you find the species, and it's their local or national bird for that island as well. Then as you go across Asia, you find them through China, well inland. So it's really just this phenomenon of them being coastal birds is in this Celtic region. So that's really fascinating. Just to describe them, they're a sort of a black-bodied crow, as you might expect for most crow species, but they're different to the others. They have a long, down-curved red beak, and they have red legs as well. So the Irish name for them is Cog Custarg, which means red-legged jackdaw. It's a very apt name. And in many of the other Celtic languages, it's similar. It's red-legged crow, red-legged jackdaw. It's a remarkable bird. And it's the one that I would think is most quintessentially Celtic. It's the one that I associate most with the Celtic languages.
Yeah, I see that in Cornwall, the last breeding pair was recorded in 1947. And then, in 2002, a breeding pair turned up, believed to be from Ireland or British stock. I'm not too sure whether you know the answer to that or not. But one of the prominent nationalists in Cornwall said that with the re-emergence of the chough will come the emergence of a new nation or something like that. Looking for independence, you know.
It has become a nationalist symbol there. And it's very closely associated with King Arthur and Arthurian legend. Yes. And of course, that's a very important figure in Cornwall in mythology and in history and legend. And I suppose the chough, it used to be a much more common bird across Ireland and Britain and other parts of Europe, got pushed to the fringes. And in many ways, people have seen a parallel with Celtic culture and with Celtic languages being pushed to the fringes and now having something of a resurgence. But it is quite remarkable the way the choughs occur in the areas where the Celtic languages, where they're spoken, is the strongest.
Okay, well, let's say hello now to Richard Collins, who's in Malahide. Richard, good morning to you.
Good morning, Derek.
It's very dark here. The birds are asleep. We're waiting for them to wake up and still quiet, Richard. You told me that some birds sleep with one eye open. Is that true?
That is true, yeah. I'll tell you about that. For instance, in a group of birds, the eye that's opened periodically tends to be at the fringe of the group looking outwards. There's even a curious thing where mallard, typical example of a bird with a fake eyelid that comes down and gives the impression that the eye is open when it is not. And that seems to be a trigger to predators that, oh, I can't attack now, he sees me, sort of thing. So some birds open the eye and close the eye. But in the depths of the flock, the birds tend not to open their eyes. There's an interesting theory about that. So if you take a chicken, if it looks out to its right, sees a world. But if it looks out to its left, out through its left eye, it sees a totally different world. This is strange to us because when we look with both eyes at the same thing. So we're focused on one image, but birds with eyes on the sides of their head aren't like that. They see two completely different worlds, one to the right and one to the left. So what is their impression of the world from that?
Richard, I'm going to have to cut you off there because actually the birds are waking up literally, and we're going to Ewan McElraith, who's in Scotland, BBC Scotland. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Derek. It's fantastic. Well, I'm actually going to shut up just for a sec. Have a listen to this. A blackbird in full song, right on top of one of Ken's mics, and I've got a song thrush on the other mic. courtesy of Arthur. So I'm just going to let you listen to this.
That's glorious, Ewan. Absolutely wonderful. Where exactly are you in Scotland at the moment?
Yeah, we're in the northeast of Scotland, about 40 miles north of Aberdeen. It's just gorgeous country. It's perfect for birds. And it's going to plan okay so far, because what I was hoping for was to get this, obviously the first dawn chorus in the Celtic fringe.
Ewan, Jim Wilson here. We're very, very jealous, and we always have a tiny little panic, a kind of one that we shouldn't be panicking about, when we hear further east the birds starting. And yet here in Birdwatch Ireland, Cuscuddy Marsh Nature Reserve in the south of Ireland, it's deathly silence at the moment. There is nothing singing.
Legend has it the devil can turn itself into the blackbird. And one flew at St. Benedict and gave him such evil, lustful thoughts for a beautiful young girl. He ripped all his clothes off and threw himself in a thorn bush to punish himself. And he never had another lecherous thought in his life again. So
that'd do it.
Or would start a passion for something else.
With the blackbird, it's often the bird we'd expect actually start singing, yes, at the top of the dawn chorus.
It's and the big sun eye.
The big eye, Derek, that's what it is. The birds with the largest eyes have the largest retina, which means they gather the most light. Because when a bird is singing, it's giving away its location to every predator in the neighbourhood. So every cat or hawk or fox knows exactly where it is. So that bird is not confident enough to start singing until there's enough light to enable it to see danger coming. And that's why the blackbird and the song thrush and the robin as well, that's why they are among the first to start singing, at least in this part of the world. And it's really fascinating.
We can hear the rooks.
We can, they started.
The rooks are just starting to kick off, but I'm about 8 feet away from this beastie. And the wonderful, I'm going to chuck in another saint for you. It's one of your saints, St. Kevin down at Glendalough. He was said to be stretching out his hands to pray to his Lord when a blackbird came down and laid its eggs in the palm of his hand, and he stood with his palm erect until the eggs hatched and the birds fledged. Now that's commitment.
What a man.
Yeah, well, you don't actually believe that, you know.
It was supposed to be that he also had done something, maybe had improper thoughts about a lady, and this was part of penance for that. I think there may have been a murder involved, not a very saintly thing to do, perhaps. So it's obviously something about blackbirds, they inspire something in people.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
But that's the joy of the Celtic fringe, isn't it? You can be in touch with these stories that many other countries would ridicule. Yeah, it doesn't have to be true. It'd be a good tale.
But well, if you can't make it interesting, make it up. That's what I always say.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, that's a really terrific sound. So you've got the first birds, it looks like, Ewan, anyway. So it's now 28 minutes past 4 a.m.
Well, what I love about this whole programme, this Celtic Dawn Chorus, is nowhere else in the world will you get competitive bird song listening.
Not just the birds.
Guys in Wales are saying, come to me, come to me.
Guys, can we just hold on? Ewan, if you'd bear with us for a moment, Niall and Jim and everybody else, we're going to Northern Ireland and we're going to say hello to David there, who's with Anne-Marie, because I believe you've got a snipe, David.
Absolutely, Derek. We're at Portmore Loch here, which is just in the southeast corner of, just to the southeast of Loch Ness, of course, the largest body of water by area in the British Isles. And this is a more bijou kind of a loch area here, and there's a low-lying mist at the moment. Anne-Marie McDevitt is with me from the RSPB. Anne-Marie, you just heard just a few moments ago the snipe.
Yeah, we're getting very excited because we heard them chipping earlier, and then we've had a bird drumming, so they breed here on the wet grasslands, and hopefully we're going to be picking up lapwing too in a wee while.
Yeah, they were talking a moment or two ago about birds sleeping with one eye open. I think since we arrived here around 3 o'clock, there's been many birds with both eyes open. I don't want to argue with our Celtic cousins over in Scotland, but there have been terns here making sound all night on the Tern Islands, which are just to our left here. But those snipe, we're going to listen now to a mic which is just down to our left here. We positioned it so that we could hear the lapwing, which is one of the birds which is very popular here at this particular lake. But I'm just wondering, is that mic picking up any of those snipe sounds? Let's have a listen.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, great.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
sound.
Excellent. And you can hear the black-headed gulls on the raft, yeah, as well. And then...
Oh, it's an extraordinary sound, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
show. You're listening to the live broadcast of the Dawn Chorus, and what we're listening to now is the outside broadcast with our colleagues in BBC Radio Ulster, David Maxwell and Anne-Marie McDevitt. Guys, will you just explain that sound of the snipe, how it's making that sound?
Yeah, well, the snipe, it's very interesting because this is unlike all the members of the Dawn Chorus that we're likely to hear. They're using their syrinx, or the equivalent of our larynx, the vocal cords, whereas this bird is using what I would call a mechanical sound. It's what it's doing is it's spreading out its tail feather like a fan, you know, like a fan from Japan or one of those, spreading it out fully, and the very outer feathers end up at right angles to the body, and they're really stiff. And then they climb into the air, and then they just drop to the ground. And it's as they're dropping to the ground, the air is passed over the feathers, and it's making a sound like a goat, actually. Gower on air is the Gaelic or the Irish Oscar word for it, Oscuailge. Gower on air or Monon on air. And it's because it reminded people of the fact that it sounded a little like a goat or a young goat. And so what we're hearing, and we'll just have another listen now, is the air rushing across the outer tail feathers of the snipe as it plummets towards the ground.
We'll come back to David and Anne-Marie in Northern Ireland shortly. Let's go to BBC Wales and say good morning to Daniel Jenkins-Jones and Tara Oaken. Hello, Daniel.
Bwrdd da iawn, diolch yn fawr iawn, Derek, thank you very much. A chroeso ato ni fan hyn ar BBC Radio Wales ac yn arbennig i warchodfa natur glwbdiroedd Casnewydd. Welcome to BBC Radio Wales and welcome in particular to a very special location, Newport Wetlands National Nature Reserve. And Tara and I have been liking this kind of game of competitive Celtic bird song listing. So I'm a bit of a fan of the blackbird, I have to be honest with you. So I was quite impressed with that to begin with. I've always thought that for all this kind of Celtic connections with saints, etc., I've always thought the blackbird sounds a little bit like Frank Sinatra, because the phrasing is so brilliant. You hear every single note. He's very laid back. You can almost imagine him singing his song with a cigarette hanging out of his beak. But I'll see your blackbird, and I'll raise you, and a snipe as well, and I'll raise you a bittern. Because Ooh. Tara and I this morning have already heard a bittern in one of the reed beds around us here at the moment. If we just, before I go over to Tara, can we just listen to the reed beds just in case it's calling at the moment?
You've got a cuckoo though.
Cuckoo of the day there.
You've got a cuckoo in the distance. And just for the benefit of the listeners, if they hear a boom, boom, boom sound, that will be the bittern. If you hear something faint like that later, I know it's not perfect, but you definitely have a cuckoo there. I'm delighted because I'm a big fan of the cuckoo. But anyway, continue, guys.
Yeah, quite a good description, Tara, I think, isn't it, of the kind of blowing your breath across the top of a milk bottle old days. Delighted to have Tara with me here as my co-host today, because Tara used to work here for the RSPB for many, many years, so she knows this reserve like the back of her hand. And you'll know how important that bittern call is, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So it's been over 200 years since we've had a booming bittern. In fact, last year was the first year that we'd actually had them breeding. So we're very pleased. And in fact, in Wales, the Welsh name for a bittern is Aderyn y Bwn. And we've even got a song called Aderyn y Bwn, which if me and Dan had better voices, we might give you a little rendition, but you'll be thankful that we're not going to give you that this morning.
Aderyn y Bwn o'r Bam. I used to sing it when I was a kid many, many years ago. But we're set fair for the entire duration of the programme, so hopefully the birds will perform with us a little bit later on. So on to the important stuff, Antara, so that we can beat our Celtic cousins. Not that we are a family, as Sister Sledge put it so well. You know, we are one big family here in the Celtic nations, obviously. But what birds are we likely to hear singing and calling this morning?
Well,
that we can trump our
friend? Obviously we've already had a bitten, so hopefully we'll be able to pick that up at some point on the mics here. Obviously the
cuckoo
as well. Definitely cuckoo, which is fantastic. We were hoping for that one today. We'll definitely get reed warblers and sedge warblers. Hopefully we'll get what we think as a Welsh bird, the wren, because they like to practice by rolling their R's. So they do a bit of a trill in their song. So they roll their R's. So we like to think of them as being Welsh. But even louder than the wren, probably one of the loudest birds we'll hear, will be the Chetty's warbler. And that will really announce itself on air, hopefully. So we should be able to hear that one as well. And we might even pick up the curlews out on the foreshore.
That would be absolutely wonderful. A very, very special bird. And I know a bird that's not doing very well in any of the Celtic countries at the moment.
Thank you, Daniel, indeed. Shetty's warbler, Niall, isn't it named after a priest?
There's a lot of birds named after
Italian priests.
Yes, there's loads of birds named after Italian priests. We have Father Bonelli as well. He's a warbler and an eagle named after him. We have Shetty. We have Savi, another warbler named after him. So there's a long tradition of Italian priests.
And don't forget Father Tiramisu. Let's go to the Isle of Man now and say hello to Tim Earle. Hello, Tim.
Hello from the Isle of Man, the Celtic island in the middle of the Irish Sea.
But not forgotten.
No, certainly not forgotten, no. We have a big part to play in the Celtic life. I'm very proud of that, we are.
Well, we're delighted to have you with us this morning. So where exactly are you?
I'm on a hill overlooking the ancient seat of our parliament, Tynwald Hill. To my left, in the long distance, is a mountain called South Barool. To my right, I'm looking down the central valley at a little town called Peel. Beyond that, I can see half of the Irish Sea. And just coming into sight as the dawn lifts here, I can see the coast of Northern Ireland. So I'm well situated. To my back is the other half of the Irish Sea. And if I were over the top of this hill, I'd be able to see Scotland.
God, if you had longer arms, we could shake hands.
Indeed, we could. The bird I'm hoping to hear this morning is the Celtic crow that's already been mentioned on the programme, the chough. The Isle of Man is probably the second most populous place for choughs in the Celtic world. We have about 120 breeding pairs, and in winter time, that number goes up to about 300 birds around the island. They feed on the insect, invertebrate life, that grows in piles of seaweed that are washed up by the currents here in the Irish Sea.
And they've got a particular way of feeding, haven't they? They stab their red-blooded bills into the ground, don't they?
They do, Derek. They have this
indeed.
Curved beak. They get into the seaweed, they get into the ground. They always associate them with a kind of tussock grass at the top of cliffs as well. Something that other crows can't do. That gives them the edge in those sort of fringe areas.
It does indeed, and we have a lot of sheep on the island, and the heavily grazed cliff tops give them another habitat to have a go at. Whether they're in competition with crows, I don't know. The Isle of Man is absolutely teeming with corvids. We have huge flocks. You've seen murmurations of starlings commonly, but here in the Isle of Man, we get murmurations of jackdaws and rooks in the evening time as they swirl around getting ready to roost. It is a very, very good island for corvids.
Well, Tim, we'll come back to you shortly. We want to go to Cornwall. You said you have a relatively healthy population of choughs there on the Isle of Man, and we have, I think it's 800 or 900 breeding pairs here in Ireland. I'm not sure what the figures are in Scotland or Wales, but I know in Cornwall, because I mentioned it earlier, it's not that great. I mean, a breeding pair turned up in 2002, and it's doing a little bit better now. But we're going to say hello to Sam Pitt Miller, who's a zoology student there in Cornwall. Hello, Sam.
Good morning, Derek. Good morning and welcome to Cornwall. Like you say, I'm underneath the stars on the University of Exeter's Penryn campus, and despite the stars still being out, the birds are starting to sing. I've just had the first few robins starting up. I don't know if you're able to hear them.
We could just hear them. I'm beginning to hear a wood pigeon here, I think, in the background here. Go ahead, Sam. Tell us all about the location there.
So there's a nice set of woods behind me in which there was a tawny owl defending its territory last night. Well, up until about half an hour ago, actually. I'm sat in a little orchard at the moment. There's a few apple trees in blossom. The blossom just about appearing now against the sky. A few university buildings in front of me. So a fairly suburban area. We should get some robins and blackbirds, song thrush, dunnocks, robins, things like that this morning. Nothing too exciting. I can't compete with the cuckoos of Wales or anything like that, or the snipe of Northern Ireland. But some nice resident species everyone should be familiar with.
Every bird has its place in the chorus, Sam.
Everything
is exciting. Tell me about the chough in Cornwall.
So yeah, as you've been talking about this morning, quite the bird in Cornwall. I think the Cornish have somewhat claimed it. despite it being such a a wide distributing bird. So I think it comes from some of the earlier literature when a Cornish man named Richard Carew mistakenly claimed it to be peculiar to Cornwall in his literature, despite living just a stone's throw from Devon, where the birds have also existed for as long as he's lived. So I'm not sure exactly how that ended up happening, but since then, it appears the Cornish have quite the claim to the chough. As you said, it appears on the coat of arms and attached to quite a bit of myth and legend here. And got a bit of Celtic for you this morning. The Cornish for chough is palores, which means digger, which is, of course, referring to that big red bill of the domes, which it uses to dig around in the soft earth to find the little invertebrates that it loves to eat so much. And as you say, it was in fact some Irish birds which repopulated Cornwall in the early 2000s, bringing this bird back to Cornwall and giving it its national bird once again.
Thank you very much indeed. We'll come back to you again later on, Sam Pittman-Miller, who's a first-year zoology student there in Cornwall. We're going to Nicole and Serge Kergois in Brittany in France.
Good morning from Camaret-sur-Mer in Brittany in France. Camlet in Breton language. Camaret is a little harbour in the department of Finistère. We are Serge and Nicole Kergois. Serge organized bird discovery trips around Camaret. And we write books upon seabirds and the birds of our country. And we are very nice to join our Celtic cousins on RTE Radio 1 on Iron for the Dawn Chorus. The houses in the harbour are very near to protect from the wind, and so we have only a courtyard with a tree and some planters. However, even there, many birds come.
Some people say that the birds know that we love them, and it is true for me. I love them.
Five blackbirds search for earthworms in the planters, and each day they pull out all the land on the ground. Many house sparrows, some blue tits, robins, edge sparrows, a winter wren, a colored dove. All these birds eat, drink in the little boat full of water, have a bath all the day. And they are very angry when we open the door and want to drink a coffee on a chair because we bother them. The harbor is very near and we often hear some herringals that perch on the chimneys. Some jackdaws fly over the houses. They are noisy also. Later in the morning, we hear the red-beaked coughs. These birds are rare, but there is a colony in Camaret. They are black with red legs and a red and curved bill. They are very beautiful. The weather today is already beautiful, but I think that it is a little cold. We wish you a nice day and a beautiful spring chorus.
Merci, Nicole and Serge Kergois in Brittany in France. We're going to County Clare now and we're going to say good morning to Aina Nilana. Good morning, Aina.
Gee, a good imagine, Derek. How are you doing?
Greetings. Very good, a little bit cold.
Now, this is the most westerly extremity of the Dawn Chorus, and it's all absolutely just bursting into life. So this is a lovely woodland. It's completely quiet here, and the birds are beginning, I suppose, to wake up, because I'm hearing hooded crows, and the noise of the hooded crow, caw, 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 and there's rooks as well, because there's a rookery here, and they give the odd rejoinder to them whenever they hear caw, caw, they go on themselves. Of course, they wouldn't perform now when I'm on air. That would be far too much to expect. But they're here all right and they're wakening up. And later on, I expect to find the usual birds. I was listening earlier on yesterday, I suppose it is now, to the chiff-chaff, which is a migrant bird, and it's back here in the woods. And even I can identify that because it's chiff-chaff, chiff-chaff, chiff-chaff. And there's the other one that has two notes is the great tit, of course. And they will be later on in the Dawn Chorus. And of course, you were all talking about the wren and how it belonged everywhere else. Well, the wren is a good County Clare bird. bird as well, and loads of trills and rolling its R's in a good Clare accent. Not only just in Wales does it roll its R's, it rolls its R's here too. Blackbirds, thrushes, all of the woodland birds that we would expect in gardens and hedgerows are in fine form in this woodland. And if it gets brighter, because we're 20 minutes behind the east coast of Ireland as regards light, and it'll be 20 minutes later before they all burst into song. And of course, I'm keeping my ears peeled for the cuckoo here. He must be having a little lie-in for himself this morning. But it's an absolutely magnificent place here, beautifully still, not a puff of wind. And you can just see everything as if it were poised, waiting for the sky to get brighter, waiting for the sun to rise. So a wonderful place, Derek, to be in Cundy on Clare.
OK, Aina, we'll come back to you later on. It's just 1 minute past 5 a.m. You're listening to the annual broadcast of the Dawn Chorus on RTE Radio 1, on BBC Radio Ulster, on BBC Wales, on BBC Scotland, and across Europe on the EBU satellite. So we want to say hello now to all of our listeners who are joining us in Europe, courtesy of the European Broadcasting Union. Excuse me. I think I just followed a
flycatcher,
some
Erica.
Form of insect at that stage. Anyway, thank you very much indeed for joining us. We want to hear from you. We want to hear the Dawn Chorus where you are. So if you've got WhatsApp on your phone, when the birds are singing where you are, simply tell us who you are and where you are, record the birds, and then it'll send automatically to RTE. They're beginning to sing here in Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve. I'm with Jim Wilson, and I'm with Niall Hatch of Birdwatch Ireland. And Jim, I'll just hand back to you now, because this is your home turf.
Yeah, thanks, Derek. It's been fantastic to be just transported to all those fantastic locations with all the sounds coming from Scotland and Wales and Cornwall and Northern Ireland. And yes, here at Birdwatch Ireland, Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve, the birds are starting to wake up. And I think without further ado, we'll just have a quick tour around the microphones that we have out around the reserve here. So, Mick, would you mind just giving us the deciduous woodland, please?
Much happening in there.
Yeah, but the blackbirds have started. And the Lundove, Oscuelga, and yes, and you had the Kjarkanishka, which was the moorhen, or the water hen as it's sometimes called, is making a clucking noise in the background like a little chicken. Wood pigeon is now starting. All right, Mick, could we have the lake, please? Robin, wood pigeon, I think there was a pheasant as well. That's a jungle fowl.
Yeah, most common bird in the world.
Jungle fowl, yeah, all the way from Southeast Asia.
Sounds great. We mentioned earlier one of our habitats is farmland.
Exactly. And that bird is actually doing exactly that. It's Dawn Chorus, yeah.
That's its song, of course.
It is its song. Song thrush.
Song thrush there, Smolach Hill, Oscuelga.
Yes, or Smolach. Very good, all right. So even since we started,
yeah.
If you remember, I told you to remember the silence.
And it was very quiet, just after 4 a.m. this morning.
Just pure silence.
You could hear nothing.
And all of a sudden, they're kicking in.
It was building up.
Yeah, I mean,
they were waiting to perform.
Yeah, it's like the traffic in the morning. You know,
it's a little bit more pleasant than the traffic.
But it's kind of the same. It's as a result of the same sort of behaviour. There's a few of us who are crazy enough to be up very early, so there's the odd car. And then, as everybody else gets up, and then there's a peak when there's rush hour and everybody's trying to move together, and then it kind of eases off again. And I always think the Dawn Chorus is a little like that. So you've got the early ones getting out early at the moment here. Blackbird, definitely, and robins now.
The robin's that kind of faster, twittery one there. The blackbird is this more mellow, laid-back sort of tune there. The songstress, of course, you can identify the song because it repeats itself. So it'll do a short phrase of a couple of notes, two, three, four notes. Then it'll repeat that. It might repeat it then a second time, and then it moves on to a new phrase. And it's the only bird here in Ireland that does that. And that's the best way to distinguish it from the others. Just listen for that repetition.
We are delighted you can join us this morning for this very special Celtic-themed Dawn Chorus. It's that fine balance between allowing the listeners to hear the birds sing and trying to interpret what's going on and pick out some of the birds so they can actually hear them sing. But we definitely heard a pheasant. We can hear some more hens. We can hear robins. We can hear wrens in there. We heard wood pigeons.
The snipe came in there a bit as well.
Snipe came in as well. So you're getting a nice mix. The birds are singing away. And what's very interesting as well is not all birds are singing at the same pitch, at the same, you know, frequency. And that's to make sure that you can be heard as well. And woodland birds tend to sing at a lower frequency than the birds that are either out in the open or only need a small territory. So like the wood pigeon is low bass, and so is the blackbird.
Yeah, the wood pigeon there, that's a great example. It really just sort of cuts underneath all the other birds of the dawn chorus. It's the one you can hear there sometimes on air now. It coos in a series of five notes, like a ooh kind of pattern. And it goes over and over, round doing that. It has a very stereotyped song, because unlike the other birds that we're listening to, mainly singing here, that learn their songs from their fathers when they're in the nest still, the wood pigeon, it has its song genetically coded into its brain. It never learns it, and so it doesn't really vary. So across the whole range of the wood pigeon, all across Europe and into Asia, the song is the same, whereas with a lot of the other birds that learn their songs, dialects and accents develop, and there's quite a regional difference between it. There we hear the wood pigeon there now. Sometimes mistaken for the cuckoo, of course, by people who haven't heard the cuckoo before. From a distance, they can sound similar. But my rule of thumb always is that if you have to ask yourself, have you heard a cuckoo or not, then you haven't heard a cuckoo. Because when you hear it, there's no mistaking it. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Very distinctive.
And I mean, that's another thing when you're trying to learn the different songs, because I know hopefully some of you will get out in the next couple of weeks, because it's not over tonight.
No.
This is going to go on for at least the month of May, probably, and a bit longer. But sometimes you can use phrasing to help you. So with the wood pigeon, it's take two, John, take two. Take two, John, take two. That's the way it's phrased. So I don't have to try and remember the actual song, but it fits in. And whereas the collared dove, which we may hear, is can you coo? Can you coo? It's three together. So you can use things like that as well to help you remember the songs when you're learning them.
We want to go back to Terry Flanagan. I believe you have a sparrowhawk in the garden, Terry.
Well, he's gone now, but he was there for a while. I wondered why it was so quiet earlier on. I thought, my God, there's not a bird around. Then I look out the back garden, and sitting on the back hedge, with the sun coming from behind him, was a sparrowhawk. And it was a male sparrowhawk. I knew that because he's smaller than the female. And I thought, oh, he's out looking for the birds. But he was just sitting there. And I know you're familiar with the term fed up. Well, this term had its origins with a hawk who had eaten its fill of food, and the hawk was fed up and unwilling to fly. So I don't know whether this one had already had breakfast, but I can tell you one thing for sure is there wasn't a sound in the garden. Now, one of the drawbacks of feeding the birds in the garden, and I've noticed this, is that if you've got lots of small birds coming into the garden, well, then you're going to draw in a sparrowhawk. But look, it's not all bad news. They're only successful in, I think, in about 1 in 10 attempts. And the best thing I find is to move the feeders around the garden. So rather than have it in the same spot all the time, try and move it around the garden, particularly close to hedges, because when you have those hedges there, the evergreen hedges, the thorny hedges, the birds can jump into it. So we had the sparrowhawk. Unfortunately, he did nothing. He didn't sing. But one thing for sure is he stopped all the other birds from singing. So there's one I have. I haven't heard anyone else from anywhere in Celtic Europe talk about sparrowhawks tonight. We've had one here in West County Dublin.
Let's say hello to our colleagues at BBC Wales, Daniel Jenkins-Jones and Tara Oaken. Daniel.
Bore da, good morning and welcome back. Croeso Noli Gymru and to the Newport Wetlands Reserve. I've got goosebumps listening to that, Derek. I don't know whether it's because the bird song is so beautiful or whether it's because it's a little bit cold here this morning as well. But our reed beds here at Newport Wetlands have started to wake up at last. So let's fade up the microphones and have a listen to see what we can hear.
I heard a curlew there.
Yes, we can hear a curlew there on the foreshore. Oh, that's so special, Derek. That is so special. We only just celebrated World Curlew Day on April the 21st, just a few weeks ago, and we've already heard discussions about the Celtic saints and the connection with our very special bird. And the World Curlew Day is chosen because it's Saint Beino's Saint's Day. Saint Beino, a Welsh saint from the 6th century, who used to preach on Llandwyn Island on Anglesey. And he used to be able to walk on the water, And he was walking back from Llandwyn Island one day, and his book of sermons fell into the water, and a curlew rescued them. And St. Beno was so chuffed to bits that the curlew had done this that he blessed the curlew and said that the curlew should be forever protected. And that's why, to this day, it is so difficult to find a curlew nest. Let's have a listen again to the reed bed. So we've got the obligatory wren singing there. The Welsh wren rolling its R's, Tara.
Yes, indeed.
But that mechanical call, what's that bird that we can hear calling?
So the mechanical bird that you can hear is a reed warbler. So that's the one that's doing the rhythmic. So you can almost count the notes of that particular bird. But there's another bird that's very, very similar in sound called a sedge warbler. And that sort of checks in a whistle.
Let's go back to listen to the R or the rhythm of the reed warbler. We've also heard the Chetty's warbler, one of probably the noisiest birds in any reed bed. And I'm just trying to think, kind of, we'll go back to Derek in a minute, but trying to think whether Chetty's warblers are that common in the other Celtic countries. Do you have Chetty's warblers in Ireland there, Derek?
No, in Ireland, no. I mean, no. We get them occasionally. We get very excited when we see or hear Chetty's warblers over here on the island of Ireland.
And I think you've got a really nice mnemonic, haven't you, Dan, for remembering the call of a Chetty's warbler?
Yeah, I'll share my mnemonic. We just heard a wood pigeon just now, and the guys have already said about their mnemonic. So my favourite mnemonic about a wood pigeon, which has got five notes, is I loves you, I do. I loves you, I do. I loves you, I do. And then the collared dove is a bored football fan.
Yeah.
It goes, United, United, United. So those are the mnemonics that we've got here. But for the Chetty's warbler, another kind of a bit of a Welsh tink to it, it kind of goes, it really does shout out. It goes, me? Who, me? No, it was never me. Me? Who, me? No, it was never me. So let's go back to the reed bed to see whether we can hear one shouting his name out.
Wonderful sound coming from Newport in Wales. Let's go to Northern Ireland now, to Portmore Lough, and say hello again to our colleagues at BBC Radio Ulster, David Maxwell and Anne-Marie McKevin.
Yes, Derek, almost just as you're coming to us there, the sun is just rising over the mountains here. There is a low-lying mist over Portmore Lough, and it just looks fantastic. I was saying to some of my colleagues here, it's like a scene from a film, except you think that the real world never looks like that, but it does look like that today. And just overhead a moment ago, we had a jet flying over, and it was a reminder that, you know, even though our travel has been so curtailed over the last year, we haven't been able to go anywhere, the natural world and the natural rhythms are continuing, and we've seen that this morning here. As we look out over one of the shallow pools created by the RSPB here, we can see geese, and they have been very active, Anne-Marie, haven't they? In fact, we've seen a little brood there.
Yeah, we've had some greylag geese here with about 14 little ducklings, which has been lovely, and a couple just make a little foray for themselves in one of the pools.
And what else are we seeing here?
So we had the kind of the really big cacophony from all the sedge warblers, and then as things started to heat up here beside us, we've had the robin and the wren, the very explosive wren, and the blackbird singing. And then what was really lovely is we've been joined by all the kind of summer migrants, so we've had blackcap singing, and then we've been talking about the different between the chaffinch, which sounds like a fast bowler, it ends very abruptly, and then our other migrant, the willow warbler, which is a much more kind of waterfall sound. So as it's been warming up, we're kind of going through the birds, and we've just had a great tit start to sing as well, calling teacher, teacher.
Well, we have all the mics up across the reserve here. Let's have a listen.
We hope you are enjoying this special broadcast today, our Celtic themed dawn chorus. With that in mind, I'm going to go now to the Isle of Man and say hello to Tim Earle. Hello, Tim, again.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Isle of Man, where I've been joined by 30 dawn chorus enthusiasts from the Manx Ornithological Society. They've been told not to speak at all, but they're just going to break silence for a moment to welcome everybody to the Isle of Man.
Where am I?
There you are. And you come back here to a blackcap war. We've got three or four blackcaps around us here in this little woodland, and they're shouting at each other with great vigour. But I just wanted to tell you a little Manx rhyme which gives the metre, really, for the song thrush's song. This is the Manx rhyme for the song thrush. Big Robin, Big Robin, take a smoke, take a smoke, take a smoke. I have no smoke, I have no smoke. Bye, bye, bye. I have not a penny, I have not a penny, I have not a penny. Go on, trust, go on, trust, go on, trust. So that's a Manx poem for you, describing the metre of the song thrush's call. And I'm now going to shut up and hope you can enjoy the blackcaps that are singing around here.
We can't quite distinguish them because there's so many birds singing at that point that we'll come back to Tim maybe later on. But right now, we want to hear your dawn choruses. So I kept asking you to send in your dawn choruses via WhatsApp, and that's exactly what you've done. So have a listen to this.
This is Olivia.
And this is Emma.
We're from Nina Tipperary, and this is what we're hearing.
Hi there, this is John M. from the downtown Detroit Dublin studios. I'm up here in Shandon Park on my birthday, just to take this little clip for Derek.
Hi, Eugene Dunbar here in Tyrrell's Pass in County Westmeath. I'm going to make a quick recording from my garden.
Good morning, my name is Deirdre Hyland. I live on the Dublin Road in Drogheda, County Louth, and this is what I'm hearing.
Hello, my name is Noreen Gallagher, and I'm from Downey in County Donegal, and this is a corian in my back garden.
This is from Mike Murphy in Guttermullen, just outside Kinmare in County Kerry.
Hi. My name is Martina Ward, and I'm in Gortletra, County Leitrim, and this is what I can hear from my back garden.
Just some of the listeners sending in their dawn chorus recordings to our specially designated dawn chorus WhatsApp number. We're going to say hello to Eric Dempsey, who's in County Wicklow. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Derek. You're having a wonderful dawn chorus there. Of course, here on County Wicklow, the Garden of Ireland, the birds started singing about 20 minutes before you guys got your birds singing down in Kuskany Marsh. And we've had a wonderful dawn chorus here in the garden in County Wicklow. I'm in an area about 1.5 kilometres in from the coast, not far from East Coast Nature Reserve. And we have a large 1-acre garden full of trees that we've planted. And we've had all the usual birds that you would expect in a rural garden. We've had all the wood pigeons, blackbirds, song thrushes, and I don't know if you can hear in the background, one of our neighbours has a peacock which has just woken up, which is adding a little bit of a tropical sort of feel to the birds that we have in our garden. It's a beautiful day here in Wicklow, and I'm looking forward to maybe getting out doing a bit of birding later on. So I'm just going to let you have a listen from where I'm standing, and hopefully we can pick up some birds that are calling here.
Thanks very much indeed, Eric. We want to go back to you and McElroy.
But why I'm getting in touch with you? Kane, our audio engineer, said, somebody's interfering with my microphones. So I looked up, and there's 4 Bluetooths. You know the big funny microphones we use when we're outside? Yes. You'll have seen them on television. There's 4 Bluetooths on the top of it, plucking it, pulling big chunks out of it. Have a wee listen to this. That's the sound of a £500 microphone being ripped apart by Bluetooth.
Well, I've had Bluetooth nesting in my garden for 20 years. They probably think it's feathers for the nest, for lining the nest. Am I wrong?
Yeah,
good
insulation, absolutely. To you guys, just bear with me 30 seconds. I've just got a rain here beside me.
Brilliant. It must be very bright there now, Ewan, is it?
Oh, it's lovely. The sun's well up in the sky. We've got the wood pigeon as well, since everybody else is getting on the act. The Scottish version is a proud wood pigeon. A proud wood pigeon. A proud wood pigeon. Yes!
Let's go back to our friends in Wales and let's say hello to Daniel. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, hello, welcome back to Newport Wetlands, and the sun has come up here as well, and it's just beginning to just kind of touch the top of the reed beds, which are now turning a beautiful golden colour. And we've seen some fantastic birds here this morning. We've heard some fantastic birds this morning as well. Just as you left us last time, a marsh harrier flew over our heads. We've had little egrets flying over our heads. And do you know what? That bittern has been booming again, Tara, hasn't it?
It has indeed, yeah. It's been booming quite well today.
Ooh. Oh, you can just see the bittern.
Yes.
Stopped that blowing across the milk bottle top, but we did hear it. Guys, tell me you heard it.
Chetty's warbler.
You did hear it. You did hear it. Yeah, but we did hear the bittern there, so I think we win. We win.
Yes.
We win. The other thing that's just woken up here as well are the warblers. Let's go back to the reed bed for a moment.
Little grebe that you could hear then, so that sort of whinnying call, that was a little grebe. They tend to be quite common here, lovely little birds, sometimes known as a dab chick as well, I believe.
And if you look them up in the book or on your internet, you'll see that they've got the fluffiest bottom of the bird world in the world.
Why is that then?
Yeah, I think they're described as having a pounder puff. I've no idea why they'd have a fluffy bottom, but it obviously works for them.
Possibly my favourite fact about grebes is that they've done the genetic work on them, and it seems that the closest living relatives today are the flamingos. You'd never think it. They look completely, utterly different to each other, but there's nothing, you know, all the intervening birds have all died out.
I think you win fact of the day.
Let's go back to Scotland, I think, and see if Ewan is still awake.
I'm wide awake, Derek. What a fantastic day. I mean, we've been so lucky with birdsong right throughout all the nation. It's just been an absolute joy this morning. The sun is streaming down. Spring has arrived. And you're just getting that wall of sound now. That just sometimes words fail you because it's just such a beautiful sound. A lot of people don't like...
You don't need words.
Well, yeah, I know, but there's a dangerous way to go, Derek,
for the radio broadcast.
You don't want to encourage that thought. The bosses are listening.
Let's go to our colleagues now, BBC Wales. Daniel.
Yeah, this really is the best time of the day, isn't it? Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. This is the time when the daytime wildlife is waking up 1 or 2 hours before the humans start to stir. Is that peace that we've enjoyed throughout the broadcast today, a tranquility. There's even been a bit of wildness as well. And we've had the most special birds, obviously, but we won't go into that very much longer. We should be a bit more modest. Guys, thank you so much for the invite to come and be part of this broadcast again today. It really, really is a privilege. I'm so proud that it was a Celtic dawn.
Diolch yn fawr iawn.
Thank you very much indeed, Tara, and to Daniel. And it was a pleasure to speak to all of our Celtic cousins in Northern Ireland, in Wales, in Scotland, here in the Republic of Ireland, on the Isle of Man, in Cornwall, in Brittany and France. I mean, only here would your national broadcaster go to so much trouble on your behalf to make something out of nothing. But the birds really did it. They're the ones we've really got to thank. Your final thoughts now.
It's been such a wonderful morning, Derek. I hope the listeners have enjoyed it as much as I have.
And Jim Wilson, thank you very much indeed for being our man in Cork and for helping us with all the arrangements here. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, Derek, just so proud of my backyard and just come out here and show Ireland and the world and our Celtic neighbours just what we've got. And after a really tough time for everybody in the last 12 months, it's a tonic for the mind.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, Jim. Thanks, Niall, very much indeed for your support. And I want to thank you for listening. And remember that when this broadcast finishes, that you can go and enjoy the dawn chorus wherever you happen to live. These birds will keep singing as part of the dawn chorus right up to June. We will leave you with the birds of the dawn chorus from Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve here in Cove. Until we talk to you again, good morning to you.
The Dawn Chorus was presented and produced by Derek Mooney and Anna Leddy.